You're listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information about Vineyard Milwaukee, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com. Now, here's our podcast.
So we're doing this series on Kingdom of Heaven. And if you weren't here last week, I want to encourage you to go back and listen online, and you can hear Rebecca's talk, because this specific one is sort of a two-parter. So I'll try to give you the best I can as an introduction to what you might have missed, just to catch you up. But I can't do it justice, so you should go back and you should watch Rebecca's talk, because it was really, really good. She did a great job of setting up the context of what the text that we're going to talk about today looking at, as she set the room, sort of speak, that Jesus is at a party. And we've been doing this series about the kingdom of heaven is a party, and Jesus is either going to a party, coming to a party, or starting to a party in the New Testament. If you took parties out of the New Testament, there's not a whole lot of content in there. Like, all of it was around a party. So she set the stage, and in this particular passage, Jesus is at a party, and here's who's there. You have the Pharisees, and they were sort of the religious right at the time, trying to do their very, very best to figure out what religion is and who, what relationship with God looks like. And then you have these sort of well-educated folks who are sort of following, trying to feel Jesus out, see what's up, but also, you know, catering to the Pharisees as well. And then you have people at this party who are just, they weren't supposed to be there. They weren't like the invited guests. They were sort of the people on the fringe. They were people in need. They were people that needed to be healed. And they were at the party. And at this party, people are making moves to try to get at the cool kids' table. And Rebecca talked a little bit about that last week, about what it's like to be at the cool kids' table and sort of jockeying your position to get there. I don't know if anyone's ever had that experience. Anybody? Anybody lived in middle school, like grew up at all in your tweens, right? You had that experience of trying to fit in, trying to be part of the cool kids, right? And there was this big thing that was happening, is Jesus was going around just doing his thing, and people were trying to figure him out. Some were trying to figure out, like, is this the true Messiah, the one we've been waiting for? And then others, I think, we're trying to jockey position as well. And here's what's happening. There's a party. And there was a big thing where they're trying to test Jesus. And this party happened to be on the Sabbath. And Rebecca laid out the text where they were sort of testing him with these Sabbath questions. Because they set up this religious structure where you weren't supposed to do anything on the Sabbath. Nothing. Not supposed to do any work. And so they're trying to test him. And they were asking him these questions. Like, if your child fell in a well, would you save your child even though it's work? Well, yeah, dummy. Like, yeah, I would save my child. You know, they're trying to trap Jesus in this corner. And I think the Pharisees and sort of these the religious uppities of the day, I got to be honest with you, I think they were kind of hoping that when they asked these questions of Jesus, they weren't really looking for the answers. I think some of them were looking, going, Jesus is going to look at me and go, what a wise person. You must be part of my crew, right? You must be part of my group because you are so wise in what you're saying to me. I think part of it was that. I think, yes, they were questioning, wondering if this is the true Messiah. But I think part of them wanted to be, man, I want to be on Jesus' table, and I want him to think that I'm extra special, and I've asked the best questions, and I've had the best responses. And I think some of that was going on. And so Jesus sees right through all of that. He doesn't even pay attention to the questions he's being asked. And he immediately goes into just giving bits of wisdom here, almost on the offense. And he sees right through it. He's really good at seeing things past what we sort of put out. He's really good at seeing things past the question. So he starts in this party, he starts talking about this wedding banquet. He says, hey, don't sit in the place of honor. Instead, be humble, take the lowest seat. And when the host invites you to the better seat, you'll be honored, right? And Rebecca talked a little bit about that, and that he talks about inviting your friends to a party that not to do that because they'll be able to repay you and invite you to a party. He says instead, what you should do is you should invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, because they don't have the means to repay you. And because of that, you will be blessed. Honor the people who can't pay it back. And Rebecca really hammered that. Honor the people that can't pay it back, those that have been forgotten and unseen. Put yourself in the lowest places, and Jesus will validate you and exalt you. Rebecca shared this video about a woman and her church, and they threw the coolest prom night for people with special needs. It was amazing. They made everyone king and queen of the prom. The woman who organized this gave her time, her energy, her resource to put people that have been forgotten in a place of honor. And if you haven't seen it, you got to go back and you got to watch last week. It was so good. And because of that, I guarantee you that person that put on that whole prom, I guarantee you see it in the video. You see her emotion and her passion and truly putting the least of these first. But you know she was receiving something that money just couldn't buy from the Lord. You know she was receiving something back. So, Jesus is at this party. He's looked beyond these sort of three questions that is sort of being asked of him. And he's addressing their hearts is what he's doing. He addresses his heart, their hearts. And so this party's going on. They ask him these questions. And he goes beyond it, lays down these nuggets. And then someone in the party yells out, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Kind of a strange thing to be yelling at a party, but, you know. Now, this person, I feel like they're still not quite getting it, what Jesus is trying to say. He's at this party, yells out, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Now, clearly this person is actually, they're educated. They're been hanging around, maybe the Pharisees a little bit. They're smart. This person believes, too, that Jesus is the Messiah. And the reason why we know that is, for those that want to geek out a little bit, he has an understanding of Isaiah 25, verses 6 through 8, where it says this: "On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shrewd that enfolds all people, the sheep that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from the earth." See, this person knew that this was the Messiah, that this is sort of setting it all up. We're at a party. The finest wines are happening. Everything's happening. This is the Messiah. This is a sign. He knew it. He knew the destination. He knew the destination. But this person was still missing the point. See, because it's not about the end. It's not about the destination. It's about the invitation and the journey. And that's what Jesus was trying to say. That's what Jesus was trying to get this people that were coming to the party to understand, that it is about the invitation that is so important to me. So we're going to pick up in Luke 14, verse 15 through 25. Verse 15 through 25. And we're going to focus on this a little bit. "When one of those at the table with him heard this," all the things that I was talking about with, you know, Sabbath and putting, you know, yourself in the least chair, "he said to Jesus," they shouted out, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." That's that guy who shouted out. Jesus replied this, and he told us a parable. He said, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.'" So he sent this invitation. He went to people he knew. You know, the text is indicating that he sent his servants to people that he knew to tell them that the banquet's ready, you need to come. Okay? I lost my place, sorry. But All right, hold on. Sorry. Technology is great until it's not. We moved to this thing, and I scrolled, and I'm now like on page 7 of this thing. So so give me a second here. come for now, and everyone is ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I have just bought a field and must go see it. Please excuse me. A field? Really? You're not going to come to a party because you bought a field. Didn't you see the field before you bought the field? And now you don't have to go see it because you already saw it because you bought it and you can go see it tomorrow. That is a lame excuse, okay? Another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Does anybody know what a yoke of oxen is? It's basically two oxen with a yoke thing around, tying them together, and they use that to work, right, to plow fields and things like that. And so this guy's saying, no, I would much rather go work and stand behind an ox that's going to, like, plow something and probably, like, poop while I'm doing it, and I'd rather hang out there than go to your party. Terrible excuse, okay? Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. That's just a little weird to me. Like, you just got, well, maybe you're still on your honeymoon, but a lot of times when people get married, all their friends think that they're so busy in love and gaga over each other that they can't do anything else. I've been married 26 years. It's just not true. Like, it's not true. It's not true. You do the honeymoon, you come back, and you're like, we need to live life. Like, we're just sitting here on our couch doing nothing. Like, we need friends. We need to hang out, okay? So that's just not true, okay? The servant came back and reported this to the master, and the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servants, go out quickly into the streets and alleys out on the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. So the master of the house basically said what Rebecca was pointing out, go get the people that are the forgotten, the unseen, the least of these. Go get them and bring them in. They're invited. We want them in our house. We want to have them part of the party. Okay? So the servants, they did this. And they said, sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there is still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who are invited will get a taste of my banquet. So let's unpack this just a little bit. They're sort of the original attenders, or meant to attend this party, right? These are people that the master of the house knew. This is a parable. So what does that mean? Well, it means probably that if we were to look at this in terms of a relationship with Jesus, that these people, the original attenders, the original people invited, they were probably like churchgoers. They probably were, some of you right now, like you've been invited. You've been going to church all your life. You've come to church before. You've gotten a little taste. You know who the master of the house is, right? But your faith has become a little dull. You've become a little dull, a little numb. You know, this thing called COVID hit, and figured, I can do church from my living room. I can watch online on Thursday, you know? And, you know, I don't know. It's become numb. It's become numb. The original people who invited, they've known God, they know who he is, but for some unknown reason, they're not living the life, walking in step in relationship with him anymore. They're just doing the thing. They're checking their box, coming up with excuses. And then you have the second group. It's the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. It's the misfits. It's the forgotten. It's the people who aren't seen but are close to you. They're in your vicinity. And maybe you haven't paid attention to them. Maybe they're the poor that you pass by at work, or maybe it's the single mom, you know, who's just struggling to get by, that's your neighbor. It's It's people who, like in the video that we shared last week, people with special needs. Maybe it's some of the people that live right outside our building. The forgotten people, the unseen. Well, the master invited them in. Invited them all in. All invited. Now, if you notice, we never heard that the servant had to like go and like compel them or try to get them to come in. They came in. Like for many of you don't know me, I have two jobs. I pastor here, but I also work with Milwaukee County Homeless Outreach, and I'm a street worker. And so I work in the streets as a street outreach worker. And I'll tell you what, if you find anyone on the street that is truly poor and struggling, and you say, hey, can I pray for you? They never turn you down. They never turn you down. Because they're like, yeah, absolutely. I need to survive today. I'll take everything you got. You want me to pray? Pray. Let's go. They never fight. I never have to say, you know, this is really a good idea. I need to convince you, and here's my 3 points of why I should pray for you right now. No, I never need to do that. They receive the prayer, right? And I think that's true of this group, this second group, is they're poor. They're out there. They're just waiting to be seen and heard. Please, come see me. Come hear me. Bring me the kingdom. I'm ready. They're not going to fight back. And then there's this third group in this parable. It's the people beyond. It's the people outside of sort of your normal circle, right? The people that you were thinking, I would never in a million years ask to pray for that person, right? I will not invite that person to church, no way. And who are you thinking of right now? Because that's the person, right? There's someone in your head right now that you're going, that I would never do that, right? That's the person in that third group. That person who is maybe the coworker or you have constant friction with or is constantly arguing about the validity of who Jesus is, or that if there is a God, and you're like, I do not want that person in my world. Like, that's the person. That's the person that the master of the house said, you need to go beyond, and he used the word compel them to come. Compel them to come. Compel them to come. Come to the party. The party is life with Jesus. Now, hear me out. Life with Jesus isn't a place you go to. It's a place you go from. Life with Jesus isn't a place you go to. It's a place you go from. You invite people to the party. See, I believe you and I, we are the servants in the parable if you're a follower of Jesus. We're the servant in that parable. We are inviting those that know Jesus, know who he is, maybe feeling a little numb, maybe they're still watching stuff from home and haven't stepped into community for a while. We're inviting them. But if they don't want to come to the party, the master of the house actually said, you can go ahead, just skip over them. Just skip over them. Oof. Just skip over them. The invitation's there. They've got it. We'll skip on. So that's what we do. And he says, go to the next level. Go to the next round of folks. We invite the unseen, the forgotten, the poor. And we put them in a place of honor in our community, in our party. Put them in a place of honor. Now, church, I have to tell you, if you've been coming around here for a long time, there are some of you that do this really, really well. It's often a point that it's a story that touches me deeply about this community that comes together is, I guess it was a few years ago now, we had a couple that they threw a party on Saturday, and they had extra food they didn't know what to do with. And they came to me before the service, and they said, hey, we want you to invite the whole church over to our house, and we've got extra food, and we want to just hang out and just invite the whole church to come, and we'll play games and stuff. It'd be great. And I'm like, this is amazing. That's so generous of you. Like, that's so great. Now, granted, we're a small church, but they live. I'm not going to tell you where they live. they don't live close by. You would need a car to get to their place. And so I'm not thinking, and I just go up, and I'm on announcements that day, and I'm announcing that we're going to have a party at this place, do lunch after church, head over to their house. If you need directions or anything, they're right there. Raise your hand. And as the words are coming out of my mouth, I'm sort of scanning the room. And I see, as I often do when we're here, we're a very mixed group of folks with lived experience from all over the place. And I love that about our church. But as I was saying this one announcement that day, I remember seeing a gentleman that I knew that's no longer here. His name is Roy, and he was sitting in the back, and I knew that he is a person who experiences homelessness, and he lives under a bridge, and he has no means, and he hasn't showered in a while. And as I'm saying this announcement, I'm going, oh, man, look what I just did. I totally just created an us and them deal. And it broke my heart as it was spewing out. And then it was already out there. It was done. And I thought, this is a terrible thing I just did. I'll never do that again. I'll never do it again. And we ended the service, and I locked up the building. And my son and I, we drove to the people's house. And the whole ride over there, I'm just miserable. I'm feeling so terrible that I set this up. And this is not the party I want to be part of, where it's an us and them, you know? And I get there, and park the car, moping up the steps to their place, and the door opens, and there's Roy at the party. And he's not just there. He's sitting with a group of people, having a normal conversation, playing a game. There's food everywhere. There's laughing. And I'm just like, I get emotional just thinking about it. Now it was, it's the kingdom. That's the party. When the Holy Spirit just shows up in something like that, that's the party. And I was like, that's my church. That's my church. That's the church I want to be part of, right? So our church, we go and we go after the unseen, the forgotten, the poor, those misfits. Because we are them. Because we are them, right? And then Jesus says, you go even further. He says, you have to go even further. You have to invite people who are outside of your norm. You have to invite those that are not sure about this party that you're talking about. That you have to go beyond. You have to go, the master says, you have to compel them to come. The person that's in your mind right now that you don't want to ever ask, that's the person you need to ask. You need to invite. That's the person you need to invite into this party that you would never invite. This person to the church, that guy, I don't want to do that. That's the person. You have to go beyond that. In closing, I just want to share you this. There's a poem. It's a little long, but I think it really lends itself to this whole talk. It's called I Stand at the Door. And I have it on the screen, but I'm going to read it to you. It's by Sam Shoemaker. Says this, I stand by the door. I neither go too far in nor stay too far out. The door is the most important door in the world. It is the door through which men and women walk when they find God. There is no use my going way inside and staying there when so many are still outside and they, as much as I, crave to know where the door is. And all that so many ever find is only the wall where the door ought to be. They creep along the wall like blind men and women with outstretched, groping hands, feeling for the door, knowing there must be a door, yet they never find it. So I stand by the door. The most tremendous thing in the world is for men and women to find that door, the door to God. The most important thing that any man or woman can do is to take a hold of one of those blind, groping hands and put it on the latch that only clicks and opens to the man and woman's own touch. Men and women die outside the door as starving beggars die on cold nights in cruel cities in the dead of winter. Die for want is within their grasp. They live on the other side of it, live because they have not found it. Nothing else matters compared to the helping them find it and open it and walk in and find him. So I stand by the door. Go in, great saints. Go all the way in. Go way down in the cavernous cellars and way up into the spacious attics. It is a vast, roomy house, this house where God is. Go into the deepest of hidden casements or withdraw of silence of sainthood. Some must inhabit those inner rooms and know the depths and the heights of God. A call outside to the rest of us, how wonderful it is. Sometimes I take a deeper look in. Sometimes venture in a little farther. But my place seems closer to the opening, so I stand by the door. There is another reason why I stand there. Some people get partway in and become afraid, lest God and the zeal of his house devour them. For God is so very great and asks all of us. And these people feel a cosmic catastrophe. Thank you. Claustrophobia. You're with me. That was just a test. Well done. And want to get out. Let me out, they cry. And the people way inside only terrify them more. Somebody must be by the door to let them that they are spoiled. For the old life, they have seen too much. One taste of God and nothing but God will do any more. Somebody must be watching for the frightened who seek to sneak out just where they came in, to tell them how much better it is inside. The people too far in do not see how near these are to leaving preoccupied with the wonder of it all. Somebody must watch for those who have entered the door but would like to run away. So for them too, I stand by the door. I admire the people who go way in, but I wish they would not forget how it was before they got in. Then they would be able to help the people who have not yet even found the door, or the people who want to run away again from God. You can go in too deeply and stay in too long and forget the people outside the door. As for me, I shall take my old accustomed place, near enough to God to hear him and know he is there, but not so far from men and women as not to hear them and remember they are there too. Where? Outside the door. Thousands of them, millions of them, but more important for me, one of them, two of them, 10 of them, whose hands I am intended to put on the latch. So I shall stand by the door and wait for those who seek it. I had rather be a doorkeeper, so I stand by the door. Amen. I want to be a church. I want to be part of a church where it's not about the destination. Something that answers the question of, where do I go to church? Well, I go to Vineyard Milwaukee. I want Vineyard Milwaukee to be a place that is a party that we come from so that we can go and tell others about what it means to have a life with Jesus. Let's stand. We're going to enter a time of ministry, and actually, I just want to, before you start playing, Greg, I just want to just, we're just going to get quiet for a minute. Just want to take a minute of quiet and just see what God is already stirring up, okay? So, Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come, move, do your thing. It's your party. So as we move into ministry time, and just so you know, if you're new here, when we talk about ministry time, it's an opportunity. We do some worship, and we're going to do some prayer. And the way we do that in the room is to my left, your right in the back, we have a prayer team that would love to pray for you. And I'm just going to offer an invitation for a few things for you might want prayer for. But that list isn't limited to my list. If you have things, we pray for those things too. The first group is, I feel like there are people that popped in your head at some point in this talk. At some point in this talk, there is someone that came to mind in one of the groups that I mentioned that God wants you to invite to the party, into relationship with Him. And there's lots of ways to do that, but I want to recognize it today that someone popped in your head. Now, I normally don't like to do this, but can you raise your hand if someone popped something, a name, a person popped in your head? I'm not going to call you out or anything. All right, so I'm not losing my mind. There's a few in here. Okay. What I would love, if you raise your hand, what I would love for you to do is at some point today, whether it's in the back during worship or, you know, after church, come to me or someone else, I would love for you to get prayer for that engagement and that invitation. Because some of you are like, I got a name, but I don't want to do that, right? And I would love for you to get prayer for courage and wisdom to talk to that person, okay? And we're just going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and give you that. So the way you can do it, while we're worshiping, if you want to slide back and get prayer for that engagement, do it. There's some of you that you've gotten really far into church. And like the poem said, you've forgotten what it's like to be at the door. And you're doing lots of churchy things. And they're good. They're good. It's good. It's good to be close to God. It's good to be in His house. It's good to be in His presence. But we're also His servants. And He's called us to go. It's not a destination. It's a place you go from. And you've forgotten that. And if that's you, I would just love for you to receive prayer today and just invite the Holy Spirit in just to do what the Holy Spirit does. And just move you. Just move you.
Thanks for listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com.